everybody, and welcome to episode 85 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, this week not joined by the man who finds Tulsi Gabbard even sexier now that she voted present twice during the impeachment hearings. Brian, he is not with me this week, and I know what you're saying out there, Ron. How is this possible? It's like gin without tonic. It's like peanut butter without chocolate. It's like a salt without battery. How can we go on having Ron and no Brian? But go on we must. Brian has had yet, I guess you could say, another little medical mishap. For you long-term listeners of the show, I think you will remember when Brian missed an episode or two last year, had a incident with, for lack of a better word, with his taint, which, as you know, was replaced with titanium. Hashtag Brian Titanium Taint was so popular last year, so I don't know how you could forget that. And, apparently Brian forgot, because he was doing some of that perineum sunning that we talked about on our Patreon a couple weeks ago. He was very excited about the upcoming impeachment vote. He wanted his perineum to look as good as possible. He went out into the sun to get a little bronze going on there, forgetting that it was solid titanium. And apparently, that sucker can heat up fairly quickly. And within minutes, Brian was consumed in flames. Now, the good news is he's only burnt about the face, chest, breast, neck, and head. So we think he's going to be okay. On the plus side, a little makeup can conceal anything, but we are letting him rest up this week. So please join me in sending out thoughts and prayers to Brian and Brian's flaming perineum. He did say go on without him because we have to settle the Racism Madness Tournament. We had a wild week of voting this past week in both our Facebook and Twitter polls. So let's just move right on and see how things ended up.
This week in
racism.
And starting off on the right-hand side of the bracket, we had the champion from the Stephen Miller region, Days in Dave, going up against the champ from the Dolce & Gabbana region, Nancy Goodman. Was a tight race for most of the week. Days in Dave did pull ahead in about the middle of the week and did not give up that lead and ended up winning 60% to 40% to fill the first slot in our championship game. And then we head over to the left side of the bracket. We had Paula Deen, region champion, number 2 seed Jean Kramer. She was going up against the number 1 seed and champ from the Trump University region, Corinne Tyrone. This one was back and forth. It was actually tied with just a few hours left to go in the voting. We did end up right before the final call getting the deciding vote, which put Jean Kramer over the top and into the championship round. So our championship matchup is set now. It is going to be Days in Dave going up against Jean Kramer. And then in our third place consolation match, we will have Nancy Goodman facing Corinne Tyrone. So head on over to our Facebook page or our Twitter page. We will have the polls for both of these. Obviously, the most important one, vote on that championship match to decide who is going to be our racist of the year. As always, you can just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. It's for all things Ron and Brian, and it has the links to all of our social media there as well. Before we let you vote, you know, we had given you some short snippets at the beginning of this competition just to remind you how horrible these people are. Since we do have a pretty solid championship game set up, let's go and give a listen to each one to see how bad they were and what got them here. We're going to start things off with Days in Dave.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, let's hear what you got to say, Chunk Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, Chuck Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, boy. Come on, prison boy.
Prison boy.
Prison boy. That old prison boy here. Look at prison boy. Yeah, look at that little fucking dumbass haircut he's got. Looks like a fucking mop. Look at it.
Days in hotel. Little fucking muck.
Look at that,
Virginia.
Look at that. This look at all that shit treated. All over his face. You don't. You can't even see his fucking face for all the shit.
This is how I'm being treated right now by this guy. And I've been staying here for 2 nights.
Yeah.
I've been staying here for 2 nights. And this look how this guy's treating a customer.
I ain't gonna lose my job over you.
Okay.
Bye.
Keep talking.
Get the fuck out of here.
Keep talking.
Get out of here before I call the cops.
Call the cops.
He's a little fucking street punk. That's all he is. He ain't nothing to me. He's nothing. He's always been nothing. He'll always be nothing. Look at him.
Mind you, he doesn't even know who I am. He don't know who I am.
He's got a goddamn mop for a hair.
I don't know him either.
He ain't nothing to me. Son, you ain't no customer. You're just a little street punk.
A guest.
That's all you will ever be.
World
star. You haven't got your shit together. Look at you. You're up here acting like a little two-year-old child. You think I'm going to treat you like an adult?
You don't
you're conducting
me.
Yourself?
You
think I'm going to give you special treatment because of who you think you are?
I don't think I'm nobody.
Do you think you're going to come in here looking like, God, look like something come off a damn trash pile?
Yeah.
No, that ain't going to happen, son.
Okay.
The girls may treat you like that. Okay. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
I ain't going to treat you like that.
Okay.
You're nothing to me.
All right, Days Inn Dave, no longer an employee of that Days Inn in Norfolk, Virginia, but into our championship round. Just to recap, he needed overtime to knock off Ethan Kozak in the first round, rolled over Parker Mushton easily in the second round, 93% to 7%, and then made his way past Nancy Goodman in this third round, 60% to 40%. But not to be outdone, Jean Kramer, equally as ignorant. She first came to our attention when she made these comments while running for city council.
My suggestion, recommendation, keep Marysville a white community as much as possible. No foreign-born, no foreign people because in our past what we have experienced is better to have it simply American-born, put it that way.
All right. And that you think would have been enough, but she gave us amazing content later on after a bunch of news stations went to her house to talk to her a little bit longer, get some more of her racist opinions.
What do you make of people criticizing you for your comments? Well, tell us exactly what you said yesterday. You talked about you didn't believe in, you wanted to, what did you want to happen with Marysville? You wanted it to stay a certain way. Tell us about that.
Well, we like Marysville the way it is, but as far as having a black couple moving in, we have no problem with that. But where it's wrong is when you have a white woman and a black husband, a white wife and a black husband together. That's wrong, and vice versa.
Well, and why is that?
It's simply against the Bible. Like I was telling her, God created Adam and Eve, same kind, same race all around, and that's how he wants that. He's our example right there.
Talk about what you want. What is it that you want Marysville to stay? You said something in particular that you wanted it to stay white. Tell us about that.
Well, just that it's a nice city the way it is. We have
meaning white.
If black people, if a black couple wants to move in, fine. Mm-hmm. But to have the mixed marriage, no.
Talk about though, but why then say it should stay white then? Talk about the, and that's okay if you feel like that. I mean, as far as a journalist, you know,
mm-hmm.
Why do you think, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. Why do you think Marysville should stay white?
We like it the way it is. When we moved here, we didn't know anything about it initially, and we have just been comfortable with the way it is.
Is there anything anyone could say to change your mind?
Well, like I say, if a black wife and a black husband move in, no problem. It's just the intermarriage.
And the foreign-borns.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you like foreigners? Why, I mean, like, well, a lot of people would say all of us are foreigners, unless we're Native American. So what's your issue with people who were not born in America?
The question would be, why did they come here in the first place? What is wrong with their own country? That's my question. What is wrong with their own country? All of a sudden they're coming here for safety or whatever.
Why do you think immigrants first came to America? For a better life, right? It's the same everyone came to America. Well, not blacks, but...
And that's another problem. What our students are learning today, it has nothing to do with how this country came about. Years ago with the English coming here, they don't know anything about that. All those U.S. history books were changed, and that's wrong.
Where did your family come from?
Oh, goodness me, way back. I'm not even sure how far back my ancestors go.
Italy, Germany?
Germany.
Mm-hmm. So I'm an immigrant. Would I not be welcome in Marysville?
Is your husband an immigrant?
I'm actually single.
Oh, goodness me. I see no problem.
Ah.
What about my brother? He's black and his wife is white and Asian.
I have to think about that one. I would say right now that's a mixed marriage, no.
What about me? I'm English and my wife's Canadian.
So she's foreign.
My question would be, isn't that how Canada got started?
Well, no, the question is, can we live in Marysville?
I don't know why not.
Well, I'm Canadian. What do you mean by that?
Well, I cannot give out any names right now, but we do have a neighbor that I found out in March that he is Canadian and she is American. And they're both white.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
Wait, but she's foreign.
Right.
I don't know if Canadian would be foreign. It's like we're sister countries.
So your family is from Germany, right?
Way back.
If a German white person wanted to come to America now and move to Marysville, what would you say?
I wouldn't see anything wrong with that.
So your issue is not so much with foreign people, but foreign people who are not white. If someone wanted to come here, let's say a foreigner wanted to come here to America and immigrate to America, and they were from Germany versus a black person from Nigeria, who would be okay to come to Marysville?
Like I say, as long as it's for foreign-born.
But German. German and Nigerian.
Right now I'm going to say no to that.
A white German person?
I would need to give it some thought. But right now, at this very moment, I would say no.
No. To someone like yourself who came here... Your family immigrated here from Germany years ago. You would say no? They came here for a better life?
I'm not sure what their situation was at the time. It could have been way before, before Adolf Hitler. It could have been before him. I don't know.
And that's Jean Kramer. Easy to confuse when asking questions. Hard to defeat when in our Racist of the Year tournament, she knocked off Mickey Tronson in the first round, 78% to 22%, rolled over number one seed Amber Rocco in the second round, 88% to 12%, and then had her toughest match in our semifinals when she took out Corinne Tyrone, 55% to 45%. I don't know about you, I just never get tired listening to that interview because she is just so amazingly ignorant, and the reporters just really seem to have a good time throwing out any possible scenario they could to get her to dig that racist hole even deeper. So once again, we are down to the finals of the Ron and Brian Podcast 2019 Racist of the Year Tournament, sponsored by Obalon. So go on to our Facebook and Twitter page, vote for that championship match of Days in Dave versus Gene Kramer Kramer. And also don't forget to vote in the consolation round match, which is Nancy Goodman versus Corinne Tyrone. Well, I hope you will join me in wishing Brian a quick recovery, back to health. Hopefully he'll be back here for next week's episode. We do have something special for you here. As we have often mentioned, we do have Patreon subscriptions where we do additional content. If you are interested in subscribing to our Patreon, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. You'll see the link in the upper right-hand side of the homepage. Last week, we thought we did one of our better Patreon episodes. If you think flaming perineums are bad, you're going to hear about a degloved penis. Don't Google it. Wouldn't recommend it. We've got a man who ate some brains as a topping on rice. A Long Island woman who decided to stab someone over endless appetizers at TGI Fridays. And a lot of insemination talk. So we're going to give you guys a listen to what you're missing on the Patreon side. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. And hopefully you'll head over to the website, head over to the social media, vote for Racist of the Year. Rate, review, and subscribe. But take a listen. Hope you enjoy. Oh, that's just a stanky beat right there. Brian, who are we listening to right here?
We are currently listening to, I don't know. Why would you put me on the spot like that?
The Wu-Tang Clan, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like a Wu-Tang with, it's one of those hybrid albums where they took like Wu-Tang and just put it over other kind of music.
All right, well, we'll fade it out. But it's a whole instrumental album available on Spotify. When you are done listening to the new Joe Pesci album, maybe you go check out the Wu-Tang Clan on that.
It's called Slow Blues off the album Wu-Tang Meets the Indie Culture, Volume One.
Oh, all right.
For all you bitches out there.
All right. Hey, Brian, I don't think you can use the word bitches anymore.
I was referring to the female dogs that Michael Vick executed.
Oh, see, I thought we would put that to bed.
Well, Michael Vick put them to sleep.
All right. Here we are, Patreon episode 84. I mean, not really 84 of the Patreon, but you get the point. We just did episode 84. Now it's time for the Patreon. This is where we cover some of the crazier news stories of the week that we were tracking that other podcasts steal from us and try and do a better job with. But that's why we appreciate you Patreon folks, is you pay to hear us ramble on for an additional half hour. So let's start over in the Philippines. Why does it seem like a lot of crazy shit happens in the Philippines? This week is no exception. Lloyd Bagtong, 21, was arrested last week for allegedly beheading a woman and then eating her brains as a topping on his meal. He was arrested on suspicion of killing the unidentified woman whose headless body was found in Barangay Punta near his home. He was seen walking on a road with the victim before the incident, then spotted again fleeing from the residence as rumors swirled about the decapitated woman. Police said he likely killed the woman early Thursday using a garden tool to chop off her head. He then admitted to the killing, led police to the victim's head, which he tossed in a hole not far from his house. He told authorities that he was hungry and used her brain as a topping on rice.
I'm going to guess that there is some mental illness within this man.
Well, and that's why I love this last sentence. And, you know, the New York Post is really just one of the last bastions of great reporting. But the last sentence of the article says, Bagtong, who may be suffering from a mental condition, remains in custody as he waits for murder charges to be filed against him. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, there's a mental condition there.
Now, had he just said, listen, you know, we didn't really get along. She was yelling at me. I killed her. I was also hungry. Okay, I get it. But he's just saying, I was hungry.
The brains? I mean, I guess it's very similar. I mean, his brain to me seems like it would be similar to tempura. On top, like crunchy, yet chewy. It reminds me of that scene in, what was that, the Hannibal Lecter movie, where Hannibal Lecter takes off Ray Liotta's head and cuts off a piece of his brain.
Hello, Clarice.
But yeah, the picture of someone doing that in real life is kind of disgusting. Do you think you could eat human brain?
It depends how it was prepared.
Interesting. So tell me, all right, so this will be a two-part question. Tell me a cooking technique where you would eat brain and a cooking technique where you would not eat brain.
Well, I definitely would not eat it raw.
Okay.
I could not eat just like in its true form.
So like a brain ceviche or a brain tartare, you're not going with.
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. If you sous vide it, I would say also no.
Okay, yeah, because then it's a little, you know, it's still brain at that point.
Exactly. I would say that if you breaded and fried it.
And really, isn't that America? Fry,
yeah, absolutely. Maybe if I have a better idea. Extract the cream out of a one of those Hostess devil dogs.
Okay.
Insert the brain, and then you deep fry it.
Ooh. So a deep fried brain devil dog.
I would probably be able to chow that down. No, I think that I would try it. Obviously, if I were in the Philippines, where apparently this is an acceptable meal, I don't want to be involved in somebody's murder or anything. I probably would enjoy it more if you told me that it was not brains out until after I had eaten it.
So someone was like, hey, try this dish. It's rice, it's seasoning, it's, you know, it's some curry.
It's a local culinary favorite.
You know, yes. some local specialty. And then you eat it and you're like, oh, wow, that was great. And then somebody's like, oh, yeah, that was, you see that house over there? It's the brains of the person that lives there.
Exactly. Then I think I would have a problem.
All right. I understand. I cringe getting ready to read this next story. And I think you will as well, Brian. So this is a story. It's a new medical case report that came out the other week. And it talks about how a teenager accidentally de-clubbed his penis and ripped open his scrotum after suffering a freak accident on his bicycle. Yep. So apparently it's a 14-year-old boy. He was cycling one-handed at a walking pace along pavement while holding a drink. He collided with a parked car. Somehow, the handlebars ended up impaling his groin. He was taken to the hospital. This was the John Radcliffe Hospital in the British city of Oxford. Doctors found a large gash extending across his groin, the pubic bone, and down into the perineum, which is, as we learned last week, you can sun your perineum. This article informs me that that is the part of the body between the anus and the genitals, which I came to know as the taint, but apparently it is the perineum.
So he peeled off the skin?
So, yes. So for those of you who may be unaware of what degloving means, it's an injury where the skin is completely torn off the underlying tissue and its blood supply is severed. Again, it also ripped and inverted his scrotum.
So it made it inward?
So, it flopped him around, basically.
What does that mean?
Like the scrotum normally hangs below the penis. Yeah. It was above it. Because it had been the injuries were so severe, the doctors were able to see his corpus cavernosa, which is part of the penis's sponge erectile tissue. And
that is a lovely vacation spot. You've got to book your rooms at least 6 months in advance. But the sea is clear, very temperate. It's similar weather-wise to San Diego.
Oh, very nice. They were also able to see his tunica vaginalis, which is the membrane that covers the testicle. Thankfully, pediatric surgeons managed to close the wound successfully, and no significant neurovascular damage was found. You want to hear something amazing, Brian?
He was discharged
from the hospital the following day with just a course of antibiotics.
No.
During a four-week follow-up appointment, he reported having normal sensation in the area, experienced no problems peeing, but it's unclear whether the injury will affect his sexual function.
And that, my friend, is the national health system of the UK.
I mean, God bless them. Moral of the story, they say, is make sure that there is a plastic covering on the end of your bike handlebars. Apparently, in looking at 800 bicycling injuries in children, 21 of them were caused by handlebars. Out of that, the 10 cases that resulted in life-threatening trauma to the lower abdomen. Craziness.
Okay, here's my question to you, Ron. You asked me, under what situation would I be willing to eat human brains?
Okay.
I'm going to flip that to you on this story. What would you be willing, would you have to be paid to deglove your penis and invert your scrotum? If I said to you that you would, after whatever cleanup work needed to be done, you would be discharged from the hospital the next day, no painkillers.
Mm.
Because you didn't need them, theoretically.
Theoretically. I don't know that I could withstand that. That's just... I mean, at least the kid didn't expect it. Like, if it's a situation where you know it's coming, I don't know that I could go through with that.
All right, here's my next question. Okay. What if the you are riding your bicycle on a Navy base in Pensacola, Florida? Unfortunately, you do not have plastic at the tips of your handlebars on your bicycle. As you are riding your bicycle one-handed, because the other hand is holding your cold beverage, a Saudi national with just a dope 1970s mustache walks by with his Glock and shoots you.
So my choices are the two?
No. I'm going to ask, how much money would the Saudis have to give you for you to not be upset that you just degloved your penis, inverted your scrotum after getting shot by a Saudi national at a Florida naval base?
I mean, I guess the number would be $4.8 million.
All right, there you go. See, that's what I like about you. You are not a man that straddles the fence. You are a man who finds a point of view and you stick to it.
You really shouldn't straddle the fence with a degloved penis. So I will give you a quick quiz. And I'm not going to give you multiple choice. I'm going to see if you can pick these answers out. What are the top three injuries that result in the majority of penile degloving incidents?
Oh, fuck. Shit. I can't even think of anything.
I mean, one should be fairly obvious.
What would the number one be?
Well,
I'm trying to put something inside the urethra.
I guess this is a very broad category, but one of the three is sexual misadventure.
Nope, can't see that happening.
So the other one, dog attacks.
Okay.
And the third, and again, you will cringe after I tell you that this is one of the top three causes of penile degloving injuries, industrial machine accidents.
How?
I don't know. I don't know what, I mean, people got to stop fucking them industrial machines.
Is it just like you lean over and it just like grabs it grabs like your clothes?
Like, I guess, like if you're leaning in and it grabs like a belt or, a loose pair of pants or what have you, and then boom, bing, bang, boom, your penis is degloved.
I mean, I think we all need to lean in. I think that's, that was a very important book that came out this decade.
I think we need to start a band, and I think we need to name it Degloved Penis.
Degloved Penis, which is better than Detachable.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think we need to move off of...
You're going to have to really bring some heat here to get my mind off of degloving a penis.
All right. Well, Brian, are you a fan of TGI Fridays?
Not really.
Okay.
But if is... sometimes it's your best option.
Okay, and you know they've got the endless apps, your unlimited appetizers.
Excuse me.
Tell me you didn't look up degloved penis.
Oh my god!
Oh my God. Oh my God. I did look up degloved penis.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I wasn't sure exactly what other... I was visualizing it correctly.
And were you?
Oh. Oh my God. Oh, it's way worse than I thought. It's like, it's, you know, like when they did the surgery on the grape?
Yeah.
And they were like peeling back the skin of the grape. That's what this looks like.
I mean, it's like someone took your penis and peeled it like a banana.
I am not going to be able to masturbate tonight.
Well, then maybe you need to take a look at this picture of Skylar Williams. She's a Long Island woman who threatened to stab a TGI Fridays employee who tried to stop her from heading home with an extra helping from their all-you-can-eat deal. She tried to pack up food around 12:30 a.m. last Thursday. She actually went behind the bar. Employee told her that, you know, you're not allowed to be behind the bar. Williams allegedly flipped out, grabbed a bottle of liquor, and swung it at the man. Then her and a friend tried to leave with the bottle of liquor, but the same employee tried to stop her, which at that point, she then pulled out a black knife and threatened to stab him with it. So
why does it have to be a black knife?
I don't know why they put it in there like that. I guess maybe a black-handled knife. I don't know. But
are those her real eyelashes?
I'm thinking no. I think if you look at this this mugshot, those are some fake eyelashes. So the police tracked her down, found her in a nearby yard, and shockingly, she had several oxycodone pills on her at the time of her arrest. So she was hit with robbery charges, menacing, criminal possession of a weapon, and criminal possession of a controlled substance charges. And again, great reporting by the New York Post here. The last line says, a restaurant worker said Friday an endless appetizers deal is the only all-you-can-eat deal currently offered at the outpost. So I'm not quite sure how that contributes to the story in any way, shape, or form, but kudos to the New York Post for clarifying that it's just the endless apps that are all-you-can-eat, which you could get confused with the all-you-can-eat riblets at Applebee's.
Is that true?
I mean, possibly. I don't know if they still have the riblets right now. They do have like the dollar margaritas or something.
What is a riblet?
It is like a, it's like, think of it like a McRib, only in like a bite-sized portion.
Oh, so it's like the rib meat.
It's like fake pork. Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, basically what they do is they take all of the, so you know how like a butcher will cut like pork, and they'll cut it into pork chops, and they'll cut it into roast and everything else. A riblet is basically all of the cuts that they don't use, that they just slice off. They put it into a compressor, and it compresses it into a riblet.
Oh, it's disgusting. Cool. I'd eat it, I mean, if I had to. But
I mean, it's not bad.
If that's not the worst thing that can happen at a fast food joint, then I guess we're all right this week.
I mean, if your penis isn't getting degloved, everything else seems okay in retrospect.
Absolutely. At least, I mean, you're not safe in a TGI Fridays, but you're probably safe in a Burger King.
You would hope so. Or you could potentially get inseminated at a Burger King.
What? How does that happen?
Which is apparently one of the lost lyrics from the Digital Underground song Humpty Dance. I once got inseminated in a Burger King bathroom just off of Route 57. If you're a fan of Huffington Post, there is a story on there this week about a woman, Joy Wright. She had wanted a baby, couldn't really, you know, afford, you know, the whole, whatchamacallit, in vitro fertilization and all that. So she actually ended up going and meeting up with somebody that she connected with on the internet. They met up at a, at a Burger King on Route 57. This guy that she was getting the sperm from went to the Burger King bathroom, did his business into a cup, and then, you know, she put it up inside her, I guess.
Jesus. How do, I mean, does it say in the article how she did it?
I believe that they there are these cups that they put them in, which then allow you to push it up inside the vagina to get the sperm in there. I don't know if it's a Diva cup, but possibly. Very possibly.
Oof.
But come to find out, I read this article and I thought it was just like a lone incident, and come to find out that no, not the case. There is actually, and again, great reporting by the New York Post. There is a series of videos on the New York Post website entitled "The Sperminator." So there is a gentleman, Ari Nagel, who lives in New York City. He often will go to a Starbucks bathroom to produce a sample for women that he meets up with, that he connects with online. Well, why a Starbucks bathroom, you ask, Brian?
Because they will not throw you out.
Well, that is one thing. He says you don't even need to purchase a product from Starbucks to use their bathroom, but also their Wi-Fi is free, which helps him access the porn he uses while he's rubbing one out in a Starbucks bathroom.
Wow. Just gross.
So if you are out there and you're having difficulty getting pregnant and you don't necessarily want to go with the in vitro fertilization route, there is the Sperminator if you live in New York. And he is apparently very, very flexible with his schedule. I do want to watch more of these videos. He apparently was being taken to court for like a child support hearing. Not sure if it was like one of his kids or one of these ones that he donated sperm to. Right. But just why this is not, out of all the reality shows that are out there, why this is not on some sort of major network.
I'm sure he's working on it. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Under what circumstances, and maybe you already have in your life, under what circumstances would you donate sperm for fertilization purposes?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, let me throw some scenarios at you.
Please do. I like your scenarios. Sure.
You are looking to raise some extra cash, so you go to a sperm bank.
Possibly. I would do that, sure.
A neighbor couple across the street from you who agree with the political signs that you have attached to your front yard.
Okay.
And have selected you as the sperm donor for the baby that they have failed to conceive.
That seems a little weird, because then I'd have to, like, you know, live across the street seeing this kid that may or may not look somewhat like me. You lose podcast, that level of anonymity.
Of course. Agreed. Your podcast partner says that he has not been cream pied in 47 years and would like to know what it's like to have another man's semen sliding out of his rectum.
I mean, you know, for you, I would do that.
Okay. Are there any reasons when you would just say absolutely not? Because it sounds like you're, from what I hear, you're okay if it's anonymous, but if you're involved afterwards, it's going to be uncomfortable.
I think, you know, I think it's, I think I don't trust people enough to donate my sperm. Like, I just feel like at some point someone's going to be coming after me with their hand out looking for money. Unless it's the cream pie situation with you, I think you would consider that payment in full. Otherwise,
I remember.
Yeah, I'm not so much.
I remember reading somewhere, and obviously this, I you know, you can't trust everything that you read on the back pages of the Village Voice.
What?
But I remember reading somewhere that guys were coming into ice cube trays and then freezing it and then using the frozen popsicle to penetrate themselves with.
I don't think, I don't know if the science stands up on that. I mean, it could work. I'm not sure.
You're talking about just the quantity, or?
I'm talking about, like, if you freeze it, like, I would think by the time it actually froze, the sperm would have died.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about just guys doing that to themselves.
Oh, just for shits and giggles, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's see what else happened this week. Did you see the TV reporter that got her butt slapped during a 10K down in Georgia?
Yeah, I saw that. It was not. I don't understand the big outrage.
Well, I mean, I think the outrage is, you know, just a random man ran by this woman while she was doing a live broadcast and slapped her ass, and you know, you don't do that in this day and age.
Well, maybe. Why would you not?
I mean, just like you can't throw sperm at someone, you know, just willy-nilly. But this was WSAV TV anchor Alex Borzajian, who said she felt violated, objectified, and embarrassed while reporting on Saturday's Savannah Bridge run. But in a follow-up, the individual who did smack the butt has been identified and is now permanently banned from all future races in Savannah, Georgia.
Just in Georgia?
I think just in Savannah, because the article says that he cannot register for any Savannah Sports Council-owned races.
Well, that just seems, I guess, all right.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. If you were walking down the street in New York, would you think that you could just smack a woman's ass?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. So why would this be a different situation?
I was just being facetious.
You're just being difficult.
Yeah, I don't think, I think today's, you just got to respect a stranger's body.
Exactly. I mean, if she said smack my ass, you know, like sometimes you'll say to me, you'll be like, Ron, smack my ass. And I'm like, all right. And I do it because I love you. I don't get anything out of it, but I at least, you know, you ask for it and I give it to you.
Well, there's a history between us.
There is, yeah. There's definitely a connection there.
Which I think is fine.
Are you going to any ugly sweater parties this year for the holidays, Brian?
I have never in my entire life worn an ugly sweater.
Never?
But I think this year may be the first year where I break down. But it's got to be a good one.
Well,
it's got to be something worthy of it.
You got to go to Walmart, Brian, because they were featuring, and it's on the Canadian one, so I think you have to go to like walmart.a, and they'll have it listed there. It was an adults-only Christmas sweater that had Santa Claus. It said, "Let it snow," and it was basically Santa doing lines of cocaine.
Well, hey, listen. He's got to stay awake somehow.
And the best was the online description, which said, "We all know how snow works. It's white, powdery, and the best snow comes straight from South America. That's bad news from jolly old St. Nick, who lives far away in the North Pole. That's why Santa really likes to savor the moment when he gets his hands on some quality, grade A Colombian snow."
No.
Other sweaters for sale depicted Father Christmas in compromising situations, including with his pants off, roasting his chestnuts in front of a fireplace.
Oh, so this was a whole string of racy Santas.
It was, yes. No word as to whether there were any degloved Santa penis sweaters. But mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently this is another situation of, you know, a major retailer just funneling in a feed from a third-party retailer and not really checking to see what is being sold on their website. Much like we've seen on Amazon the last couple of episodes.
Okay. All right. I like that.
But I mean, again, I think if it wasn't Walmart, I don't know that anyone would really care. Like it's kind of funny. Like if it was on Amazon, even I think people would get the joke. So I don't know like why Walmart felt the need to apologize for it.
I just don't believe we live in a time where you can joke about something.
All I know is
you're always going to find somebody to offend, and they're always going to make you walk it back.
Walmart should not be a captain at the Pro Bowl this year. I've said it.
Agreed.
I'm putting my foot down.
That we can agree on.
All right, good. And then finally, this was actually a good one. You know that we always like a good meth story here at the Ron and Brian podcast. Surprising. You wouldn't have thought this. Would you have pictured Maine to be a hotbed for crystal meth activity?
No, I would not have.
And again, and you know we love the New York Post here because we quote them often. One of my favorite first lines of any story, he made it a meth-adist church. Because, yes, a Maine man was charged with turning a kid's playroom in a Methodist church into a meth lab. Matthew Anderson, 33, was busted after officials at Buxton United Methodist Church alerted police to suspicious activity. If you see this picture of Matthew Anderson, you will say, yes, this is a guy who is clearly on meth. So he was apparently operating a meth lab, being held in York County Jail after failing to post his $50,000 bond.
That's a shame. That's a real shame.
I guess meth is easy to make.
Yeah, but you just, well, I mean, listen, look where they're making it. It's definitely easy to make.
Yeah.
But it's just, you would think that they would just be a little bit more respect for the institution of the church.
You would hope. I mean, you know, the church should be left for abusing children.
Of course.
Once you bring in other crimes like making meth, you really take away from what the meaning is behind these church organizations.
It's like we forgot who we are.
I mean, and especially a kid's playroom. I mean, the kid's playroom is there so to play hide the salami with Father John. And not make crystal meth out of wasp spray.
Totally not. That's why you are an upstanding member of our society.
And and these thoughts may not make me popular, but I'm going to say them anyway.
You are popular.
I try.
Maybe not for these thoughts, but just because of your incredible sterling personality and stunning looks.
Oh, well, you're too kind to me. All right, well, I think...
Please have some of your sperm.
You know it. Anytime you ask. Next time I see you.
This is trying to warm you up.
Right in your face.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for the Patreon episode this week, my friend?
Nah, we are good to go.
I feel we gave everybody their money's worth this week, without a doubt.
I would say so.
Geek loving, insemination. We hope you enjoyed it.